Then we're reading from John 8, reading from verses 12 to 21. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." Amen.
Well, good morning. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not keen on shorter days. In the winter, I prefer to have the long summer days, just enjoying the warmth of the sun. Now, if I spoke to Carol, Carol would say, "I like the long nights because it means I can sit by the fire even longer." Is that right? Yeah, good, good. I prefer the warmth of the sun. Do you? There is something about it that just makes you feel alive. It's somehow my spirit seems to lift, seem to have more energy, and just enjoy that time of year. So as the days grow longer, because we've had the shortest day, as the day grows longer, it's just a real blessing. Reflecting this morning, on the radio, there was somebody saying, as I drove in this morning, that they've seen bees in the garden already. Amazing. And it's great to see the daffodils starting to poke their heads up around the tree, the tree at the front. But there are some people that suffer from SAD, aren't they? That seasonal affective disorder. Where they struggle with the lack of daylight, and so they use light boxes to help them combat that sense of darkness. You know, if you lived in the North Pole, you would only ever experience one sunrise and one sunset in a year. Just think about that for a moment. Sunrise happens in March, and sunset happens in September around the equinox. This means that you will experience 24 hours of daylight during the summer all the time. Can you imagine what that would be like? It'd be really weird, wouldn't it? You'd get up and you wouldn't know what time of day it was. And in the night, you would only ever experience 24 hours of darkness. That must be really weird too. Your body clock must really struggle with that sort of out-of-sync stuff going on. I can't imagine living in that sort of environment. They say that actually those that live in that sort of environment struggle with mental health. A lot of people drink quite heavily and get involved in all sorts of other things because they haven't got the rhythm that we have. The image of light runs through Scripture. And we find our first reference to light at the beginning, right at the beginning of the book of the Bible in Genesis 1. When on the first day God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The setting of our text this morning is found in chapter 7, where Jesus goes up to Judea in 7 verse 10 to celebrate the festival of tabernacles, which normally lasted about a week. Well, it's about 8 days, actually. The festival of tabernacles was a festival where people of Israel remembered how God had saved the people of Israel from the oppression of the Egyptians and how he had led them out of captivity and then 40 years in the wilderness into the promised land. And to mark that, the people will build temporary structures on their roofs or wherever they can find. I found this picture of a temporary structure, of building a temporary thing that mirrored what would happen when the people were in the desert. The Ark of the Covenant was kept in a temporary structure, in a tent, wasn't it? And they lived in temporary structures. So it was part of their way of remembering the journey that their ancestors had lived in and experienced the faithfulness of God. Partway through the festival, the priests would throw water to the left-hand side of the altar to remind them of how God had provided water in the desert from a rock. In chapter 7, verse 37, we see on the last day of the festival, Jesus stood up and he said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them." Jesus was saying, look, my Father provided water from heaven for you and for your ancestors, but I will provide water that will never leave you thirsty again. Water that brings life. Can you imagine that scene where the priests were at the altar throwing the water to one side, people reminding them of the faithfulness of God, that he had met the needs of the Israelites in the wilderness, and yet Jesus then speaks these words of life. This water that I give lasts for eternity, will give you life if you drink it. And then as part of the festival, there were four big candles. I found this picture. I don't know if this is partially representative. They're great big stacks, and they would light them, and they would light up the whole town. It would be seen for miles and miles away. And the candles were there to remind people how God had sent a pillar of fire at night to guide their way, to freedom and to give them protection. Then we see Jesus speak these words in chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. These make sense to us, don't they, these symbols? But to those who were listening at that moment, experiencing that festival, Jesus' words must have sounded completely radical, completely turning upside down what they were practicing and what they were remembering. The Spirit of God was speaking through the Son of God. The prophet Isaiah spoke these words about the coming of Jesus in Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. I have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. So for Jesus to use these words, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is a life-transforming verse. It encourages us to follow Jesus, not to lag behind, but to be in step with him. To follow him means to have him. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. In John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says this: in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, the link here between light and life are the key to understanding what John is pointing us to, that is Jesus. For he is the light that we believe in him, and we receive that light, and he brings that light into our lives when we accept him as Lord and Savior. You see, without Jesus, we live in darkness. We live without light. Do you remember the story of Nicodemus in John 3? To receive life, you must be born again. To receive Jesus, we must be born again. I was reminded of the chorus as I was preparing, "Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see Jesus." That sense that actually God needs to work in us as we lay our lives before him so that our eyes can be open to see the glory of God. Because without God moving, we live in darkness. The verse is saying that without Jesus, we live in darkness, and that darkness is all around us. There is no light other than Jesus. He is the true light sent from the Father. Only through Jesus are our eyes opened. If we do not have Jesus, then we are blind. We live in darkness. If Jesus is the true light, life without him must be very bleak. Must be very bleak. And yet with Jesus, we see true technicolor, everything that is good. The way that God meant us to see the world in the beauty of his creation. But without that light, all we see is darkness, because we are living in the darkness. But with Jesus, we live in the light, and hopefully we know our eyes are opened and we see as Jesus sees, as God intended us to see the world. One day, the world will be filled with the light of Christ when Jesus comes again. When our eyes are opened, we will see the radiance and the brilliance of the Father, and yet in our text, they could not see Jesus for who he was. In verse 13, we see the Pharisees trying to catch Jesus out. "Here you are appearing to us as our witnesses," as your own witnesses. "Your testimony is not valid." I believe here they're picking up on the words that Jesus said in John 5, verse 31, that says, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true." Yet the context of what Jesus was saying in John 5, from 31 to 47, was that he does not testify about himself because there were others that went before him. He mentions John the Baptist. And he mentions the word that the Father gave to the Israelites, as we know as the Old Testament, that if they studied the scriptures, they would see the light that's coming into the world, which is Jesus. But they read the scriptures and yet still do not understand that Christ has and is in the world. God is the one who opens the eyes of the blind. He is the one who reveals the truth about Jesus to us, even today. Even today. I wonder, have you ever experienced blindness? It must be horrifying. At one moment to be able to see, and then in the next, not being able to see. To bump into things, to not have your bearings, it must be really, really odd. I thought about asking somebody to be blindfolded for the whole service and see how they felt, but I didn't go that far this morning. But it must be completely disorientating. I suppose that the only way I can describe it, it's a bit like, not that I've got them yet, but speaking to those that have had cataracts. Over a period of time, your vision starts to dim and dim. You lose the sense of color and perspective. And yet when you have a cataract done, it's like somebody's peeled a layer off and you can see clearly again. I remember, at the moment, the sun's quite low in the sky, isn't it? Especially early in the morning. And driving to work, as I come past Pines Road Shop and over the hump before you come down Brixington Lane, the sun is just so low that if you time it wrong, the sun blinds you in your windscreen and you cannot see. I'm driving fearfully because thinking, actually, I'm really blinded. I know there were some cars there. I pray, Lord, there's nothing coming the other way because I'm likely to drive into it. Have you been in that situation where the sun is so low that it's really odd? And yet, you know, we cannot see when we are blinded. And yet God is saying, actually, I've come to peel back the layers of your blindness and enable you to see in glorious technicolor. You know, living in darkness means that we're living in fear. Maybe fear of your life. Fear about your circumstances. Maybe fear about your health. And we heard from fear about falling this morning. Maybe fear of others and what they think or don't think. Fear of not having enough. Or fear of missing out. Somebody calls it FOMO, the fear of missing out. Isaiah 43, verses 1 says this, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God actually commands us not to fear, not to have that worry. The phrase fear is used at least 80 times in the Bible. Because God knows how the enemy uses fear to decrease our ability for hoping and to limit the victories that we might have because of the power of fear over our lives, because of the power of darkness. In the darkness, the enemy is at work. But the light of Christ is coming to reveal that the darkness will be banished and the darkness will have no hold and no strength over our lives. Because we're called to be carriers of that light. And when we're carriers of that light, the darkness is banished. You only have to look at the news this week, don't you? What a week it's been. You could easily live in fear of what you see in the news this week. It might be, you know, what's happening with Iran and America. The tension that potentially could spark into a war, or the shooting down of that Ukrainian plane, or the fires in Australia and the many running for their lives. Fear can so easily grip people because of circumstance and situation that they find themselves in. And what happens is the darkness is then allowed to come and form around them. But Christ says, no, you are the children of light. Live as children of the light today. Let your light shine before men so that the darkness may vanish and the world may see in true technicolor what Christ has done for us. We're going to sing a song in a moment. We are no longer slaves to fear. We have been set free from that because of what Jesus has done for us. His light has come into the world and has invaded our lives, and that we are now carriers of that light and truth. We are children of the light. What does it say in, I love Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. That is Jesus. That is Jesus that has come to enable us to do that and to be that and to experience his light in the gospel that we read about today. Are you shining for Jesus? Is the light of Christ dwelling in you? Thank you. We need to allow that light to shine. I was thinking this morning that the amount of times I've spoken about the light of Christ over the last few years, especially at Christmas and Christingle. And yet God spoke to me about this week, and I thought, wow, this is completely different again. It's like, you know, you come to a seasonal text and you think, what else can I draw out from this? I think I've drawn everything out of it now. Christmas and Easter, and yet God brings fresh manna. Fresh manna every time we come to a text that we know well. But the truth, the kernel of the question is this. Jesus came to bring light to the world. And he came to bring it through you and me. To bring that revelation of his truth in our lives so that we might shine for him. So the question has to be, are we shining for Jesus? People might say, as they did to Jesus, well, who are you? What right have you got to be a light for Jesus? What right have you got to be standing up for somebody that we can't see? They said the same of Jesus. Who is your father? Where is your father? And Jesus' reply was, if you've not read the scriptures and you've still not seen, you're not going to know me, are you? Because you don't know my father, who is revealed in the truth, which has been handed down from generation to generation to you. Yet we live in a world where people do not know this book. People do not know the truth that is within it. It's a book that perhaps lives on the bookshelf, or it might be a book that they were given at school through the Gideons, or that the book they find beside their bed in the hotel room, and yet they don't know it. There was a question on the radio this week on Radio Devon, where they ask a series of questions and to see how many you could get right. And the last question was, can you tell me what the last word in the Bible was? I wonder how many could answer that this morning. Can you answer that? Did you hear that, Graham? Yeah, that's it. Well done. Do you know what the last word of the Bible is? Amen. Amen. So be it. Let it be so. Amen. Wow. God's word closes with that exclamation mark that says, Amen. Let it be so. Let the power of God's word be so. Our focus on these teachings about the I am sayings is to bring Jesus front and center of our lives. To stand squarely before us so that we might know his power working within us. That life-giving power that Jesus has. Are you the light of Christ? The answer has to be, if you've been saved, yes, you are. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Don't turn the light off. Keep it switched on. God loves carriers of his light. We are carriers of his light. Therefore, we are loved by God. Because God first loved us. Let your light shine before men, that they may see his good works. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word, Lord, that comes to us afresh every time we come towards it. But Father, we pray this morning, Lord, may we be children that live in the light and not in the darkness. May we be those that do not live in fear, but know that the one who has called us is faithful. The one who has set us free has redeemed us forever. Father, enable your truth to sink deep into our lives. Enable your truth to manifest itself in all its richness, that we might see in true technicolor what you are doing around us, that we may see the glory of God, and that as we see the glory of God, Lord, we may be carriers of that same glory to a world that is living in darkness and needs the true light, the light of Christ. Help us in this, Lord, we pray. Help us, Father, to make your light shine so that people may be drawn to the light, may be drawn to you, because it's all about you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.